first prayer that I remember learning as a child. Now, before I tell you this, remember my family, we did not go to church. We were not, a lot of them are still not followers of Jesus. So the first prayer that I learned was this: "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I shall die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." What a morbid thing to pray as a child right before you're going to sleep. Think about that. You're talking about death, right, literally last things right before you actually, before you go to sleep. No, I think that was just part of my parents' way of trying to help me to pray, and they didn't know what to tell me or what to say. But as I think about that, I'm like, ooh, we don't want to teach that one to our kids. My son Josiah, if you know Josiah, Josiah is hilarious. He has a lot of funny sayings and things that he does, and he has this blessing that he prays. We say the blessing, and it says this: ABC 1 2 3. Thank you, God, for feeding me. And he learned that in his preschool last year when we lived in Dublin. And so now he's adopted that prayer as a nighttime prayer too. And he says, ABC 1 2 3. Thank you, God, for sleeping me. And saying, God, thank you for helping me to sleep. And so we have all types of prayers. We have all types of things that we say when we have a conversation with God, because that's what prayer is. But I wonder, how many of us pray like we just prayed just a minute ago? How many of us pray what I would describe as being kingdom prayers? Prayer, there's not really too much about me, but it's about the Lord. It's about His kingdom coming here on earth. Or, I think probably the way that most of us pray, we pray what I would call vending machine prayers. We look at it, hit the numbers D4 because that's what we like, and we say, God, would you do something for me? God, right now, I need you to heal me. God, right now, we need this. Or God, right now, listen, I did not study for this test, and you know what? I need a whole lot of help in this. God, right now, I need out of this ticket. Or God, right now, I need a parking spot. Or God, would you protect me? Or would you help me? Or would you bless me? Or would you take care of me? And if we're really spiritual, we'll pray that for someone else. God, would you help them or bless them or protect them? So, here's my thought, though. Is that, if we took me out of the equation, how much would we actually pray? If Josh was out of the equation when I spent my time with the Lord and I began to pray, how much would I actually pray? Or would I have any time with the Lord at all if I took me out of the equation? Now the tension here is that all throughout the Scriptures we hear that we're supposed to call on the name of the Lord. All throughout the Scriptures we're told, Old Testament and New, Paul tells us to pray without ceasing. We're told in Psalm chapter 4, verse 1, that God heard his cries when he was hurt, when he was hurting. And so does it mean, you know, that this is the only time we should pray is to ask God for something, to take care of us, to bless us, to protect us? Or is there something greater? Is there something more that God has for us and intends for us when it comes to our time with him? Some of you checked out of praying a long time ago. God didn't answer the prayer that you needed him to answer at that moment in time. He didn't heal. He didn't help you figure out the financial difficulties. He didn't keep the marriage together. And so you said, you know what? I'm done with it. If God can't answer my prayer, then I don't need to pray anymore. For some of you, your mindset about prayer is, well, that's what the pastor does or the priest does or somebody who carries a Bible around. That's what they do. For some, you would say, you know what? Like, all I have time to do, Josh, is kind of offer up the vending machine prayer because I just don't have time to sit down and pray. I just, like, my life is too hectic and too busy, and so the best I can do is, as I drop my kids off to school, say, God, would you watch out over my kids today? I think, and what we're going to see here from Jesus in just a minute, is that more than us praying vending machine prayers, that God intends for prayer to be something bigger than just D4, God, I need you to give me this right now, pop it out of the vending machine. And there's nothing wrong with the vending machine prayer, but the tension is, if that's all that we ever do, I think we're missing the heart of God. I think that some of us can live our entire lives and pray that way and never really connect and be close with our Heavenly Father, because all we ever do is say, God, would you bless me, protect me, heal me, help me, or whatever it is for me. And we never really get to see His heart, because it's never a two-way conversation. So this morning, if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, if you will turn to Matthew chapter number 6. As you're turning there, this whole series called Foundations, we birthed in our hearts and mine and Pastor Brad's heart in the parking lot a few months ago. And I said, this is my heart and my desire for families. And he was like, listen, I feel the same way. And so I've really been looking forward to giving you this speech for a long time. That's just an inside joke, sorry. Everybody's like, what? Whenever you see Pastor Brad, don't tell me today, but just tell him next Sunday, hey, that was a great speech. It's so encouraging to him to hear that. Matthew chapter number 5. Can we edit that out when it goes online? Matthew chapter 6, I'm sorry, beginning with verse number 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. So what Jesus tells us is that, hey, listen, kind of first, if you like to take notes, where you pray matters. Jesus seems to indicate here in these four verses that we'll look at that actually where we pray actually makes a difference. Now, what you have going on here is Jesus is in the middle of what we would call the Sermon on the Mount. And this is Matthew's recording of what Jesus is teaching here. And he begins to teach about prayer, about hypocrites, about things that we should do as individuals. And he launches into this talk about the hypocrite and the way that he prays. And what would happen is that these men would stand on the street corners, and they felt like if they could pray the loudest, that and people would take notice of their prayer, that it would make them seem super spiritual. So what you had was a group of people who they'd stand there and they would pray, and they would pray these long, repetitive prayers, and they would use huge words just so, and Jesus says, their reward is everybody walks by and takes notice that they were praying. Or everybody says, hey, you know what? Hey, you got it. That guy can pray. That's their reward, because that's what they want. They want people to see them. But what Jesus begins telling us and showing us is that where you pray matters. Because he's talking about being on the street corner there. He's talking about where they are. And then he's fixing to tell us something else here in this next verse. He says, but when you pray, again, this is the second time he uses this language. He says, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Heavenly Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So where you pray matters, and when you pray matters. So Jesus is telling us, and I think the implications here is that there really is a proper place and an improper place for you and for me to pray. And it's not because the place matters so much as what happens when you set aside time and you go to that place and you begin to pray. He says, what happens to us is that you get a relationship with your Heavenly Father. So where you pray and when you pray, it makes a difference. I love that word there, reward. Because he says, Your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. The word reward, it simply means to repay you. And so you won't necessarily, like, the reward is not that you have this place where you go and this time set aside where you seek the Lord. The reward isn't that, well, God's going to answer every one of my prayers the way that I need Him to answer my prayers. But the reward is that I get a relationship with my Heavenly Father. The reward for you and for me is closeness and connection with God. And so oftentimes I've heard in teaching with students for so long and in dealing with them, like, I've had people say, well, so that means if I have my place and my time, then God's going to give me whatever I want and whatever I ask for. And that's not the case. The reward is we get Him. We get a relationship with Him. Listen, here's the reality. Most of us, our prayer time is on the go. It's, God, would you take care of this? Would you do this? Would you watch over them? Would you protect this? God, help me remember this stuff on my test. Keep me safe today. All these things. And there's nothing wrong with that. But what Jesus is saying is when we pray that way, we don't really get the connection and the closeness with our Heavenly Father the way that we could. So He tells us, He seems to indicate here that there, like, the place matters, and when you pray, it matters. Then finally, He tells us this, verses 7 and 8. He says, and when you pray, again, the third time He's used this phrase, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. So He tells us where you pray matters and when you pray matters, but He also tells us this, that what you pray matters. Here's the thing. If you've ever been a person who you had a place and a time that was your prayer space, I mean, that was the place where you went to every day and you connected with Jesus, you know exactly what He's talking about here. You know what you get because you get closeness and connection with your Heavenly Father like you've never had before. And you've seen what happens in this time and how you're transformed and your life is transformed. So I wonder why many of us stop doing that. Like, you've seen how God transforms your life. So why is it that we stop? What happens to us that makes us just say, you know what, right now in this season of life, I don't have time, and God, you're just, ultimately you're saying, God, you're just not as important as everything else that I have going on right now. All my stuff and my to-do list is more important than going to this place, getting quiet and getting alone with you. So what He's telling us is where you pray matters and when you pray matters and what you say matters. And here's the reality. He says, listen, don't keep babbling on. All right, so another sign that you were super spiritual in His day and that you were a hypocrite was these men would stand and they would pray forever. And they would say these huge words that nobody else knows what they are. And their whole deal was they wanted to sound very spiritual. And so they would pray forever. Because it was thought that God would hear your prayers and your cries if you prayed forever, if you prayed a really long time. And what Jesus is saying, He says, no, it's not about the length. It's not even really about what you say, because the reality is He already knows what you need before you ever ask. You ever think about that? He doesn't say don't ask, but He says, listen, He already knows everything you need before you ask. So, if He knows all that we need before we ever ask, if He knows our hearts and He knows what we're going to cry out for Him, I wonder if we spent a little more time in that place, a little more time in whatever time of day that is for us, instead of focusing on us in prayer, I wonder if we spent some time focusing on Him and His Word, and what He's done, and what He has ultimately even being thankful for what we have. I wonder if we spent more time on Him instead of on me, what our lives would look like. So when I was, and if you watched the video this week, you heard a little bit of the story, but when I was 20 years old, God radically changed my life. And it was kind of by accident, if you want to know the truth. It wasn't like I was planning, hopefully God's going to change my life this summer. But what happened to me was I was thrust into a position serving as a camp counselor where I was, which this is really scary thinking back, but I was kind of the most dependable counselor we had. So I got stuck with the older guys. I know some of my family's laughing at me right now. But and literally after my first night, all right, so we have these kids and they're bussed in from everywhere around this particular camp that I served in North Carolina. I've never seen them before. I'm scared to death of them because some of them at 14 years old are bigger than me. I'm only, in some of their cases, 5 years apart from them, age difference. And I remember that night, like I couldn't get them to go to sleep. I mean, I could not get them to go to sleep, and I could not get them to go to sleep. And I remember waking up or like being in and out of sleep because I'm exhausted because they're exhausting me that night. And I remember that morning I came to like a pivotal moment the next morning. I finally got them to be quiet because I told them they'd have to go last in the lunch line. And that seems to work with teenage boys. 6 o'clock. My alarm goes off. I've slept about 2 hours, and I know what this day is fixing to entail for me. I'm faced with the decision. I really need some more sleep than what I've gotten. Or I can get up and I can go outside and I can be with the Lord. And so I made the choice, and my buddies who were other counselors had already been up, and they're out there, and I walk outside to where we kind of had designated as our space and our place to be with the Lord, and one of my buddies looks at me, he says, "What happened to you?" But I remember that day, I opened my Bible, and I began to just beg God to move and work in the lives of those kids. I begged him that they would become followers of Jesus that week. And the next day, I was tired, but I just got up. And the next day, and the next day. And so I spent an entire summer, every single day, the first thing I did when my feet hit the floor was I went to that place, and I was crying out to God for him to change their hearts and lives. And do you know what happened? He changed me. I went back to school, and I began dating my wife when I went back to school, and it just by circumstances, and just God orchestrated all of that. And when that took place, one of my friends who I played baseball with, he looked at Jen one day, and he said, "Jen, what did you do to change Josh?" And I remember so plain as day, Jen looked at him and said, "I didn't do anything. That was all the Lord." And the reality is, I think that that's what happens to us when we have the place and when we have the time and when our prayers stop being about us and they're kingdom focused. Is what takes place in our lives is that we are the ones who change. Prayer creates a closeness and connection with God that you cannot have any other time or place. You won't have that closeness and connection by praying on the go. You won't have it by praying in the car because in the middle of praying, somebody pulls out in front of you and you forget all about praying at that very moment in time. You won't have it if the only time you pray is when you just kind of say, hey, God, I really need some help right now. And I think many of us as followers of Jesus, you understand that Christ died to bridge the gap between us and God. You understand that Jesus paid the price for your sin and that he paid the price so that we could be connected with our Heavenly Father. But many of us miss out on the closeness and connection that we can have with our Heavenly Father because we're not intentional about our time with him. We're not intentional about being in the Word. We're not intentional about praying. It just kind of happens if it happens, and we let the chips fall however they fall. So I was thinking about this. Who's your best friend in the world? Your best friend in the entire world. What would happen in that relationship with that person if the only thing that you ever did with them was, if you saw each other riding down the road, you waved, you occasionally, you sent a text message to someone, to them, occasionally you had a phone call, or you sent an email, or you liked something on Instagram or Facebook, and you kind of made a little, just a passing comment about how we need to get together, but you never actually get together? What would happen if that was your best friend? They won't be your best friend long, because you have to be intentional about connecting with them. I have some siblings who, when I lived in Macon, like all the time I would see one of them, my older stepsister, and she would say, listen, we got to get together. We got to get together. And every time we saw each other, we got to get together. But that was the end of the conversation about when we were actually going to get together. And so without being intentional, we actually never got together. I don't think one time in all of me living in that area did we get together outside of like some family gathering. Because we were not intentional about it. If we aren't intentional about the place and the time and our relationship with the Lord, then we'll never have the closeness and connection to God that prayer gives us. If I'm not intentional with my best friend, I won't ever be. We won't ever have the relationship that we're supposed to have if I'm not intentional. Most of us think that it's just going to happen. It just, you know, I'll get to it when I get to it, and it will happen one day. But the reality is, if we're not intentional, it won't take place. So, let's just ask a question. What if 100 people who hear my voice right now, what if 100 men and women said, you know what? I'm going to find that place and that time, and I'm going to be intentional about my relationship with Jesus, and I'm going to do it day after day after day after day. What would happen in our lives, in the life of this church body, if 100 people did that? We'd have to turn people away every Sunday. You know why? Because just like it was for me at that time when I was 20 and then 21 years old, there would be something so radically different about you and about me that people would want the difference. They would take note. Man, there's something different about the way that he responds to his kids. There's something different about the way that he responds to horrible directions at work by our boss. There's something different about her. We would be better fathers. We would be better mothers. We would be better husbands and wives. We would be better students. We would be better employees. And most of us, we say, listen, I don't have time. I don't have time because I got to take care of my kids, and I have to do this, and I have to get to work by a certain time. I have to do all of these things so that I can get there and so that I can be the best that I can at work and all this stuff. But the reality is we have it backwards. Because if our foundation was being with Jesus, then we would be better at all those other things. We wouldn't need 7 million self-help books on how to be a better boss or better employee. If the followers of Jesus had a place and a time where we said, this is my chance to spend time with the God of the universe, who sent his son who loved me enough to send his son to die for me so that I could be in close, connected relationship with my Heavenly Father. But most of us, we do everything else and live our busy lives, and the one thing we cut out is the Lord. So my buddy who preached his first sermon a couple weeks ago, I saw this and I talked to him about it. I said, listen, I'm using this, man. I said, this is phenomenal what you said. He said this. He said this about us. He said, every reaction we have, every thought we think, and every word we speak flows from the time we spend or don't spend with our Heavenly Father. Every reaction we have, every thought we think, every word we speak flows from the time we spend or don't spend with our Heavenly Father. You don't want to know why you're grumpy all the time? You're grumpy because you're not spending time with your Heavenly Father. You may in passing, but it's because you're not in the Word. It's because he's not changing you from the inside out. You want to know why you can never get past the temptation that you have in your lives? Ultimately, because we don't have a place and we don't have a time where we're connecting in a growing relationship with our Heavenly Father. Want to know why you always respond the way that you respond, whether good or bad? It all goes back to the time that you spend connecting with your Heavenly Father. Prayer connects us with the Lord. Most of us live our lives disconnected from Him and from what He wants and He desires because we pray the vending machine prayers, and that's it. So here's my question for you. Where is your place? What time is your time? If you're not intentional about having this place in this time, you will not grow. You will not connect with your Heavenly Father the way that He has designed relationship to be with you. So here's what I would love for you to do. This week, I always get this thing wrong, Brad, and I'm the one who created it, so I shouldn't get this wrong, but what we would love to see from you. This week on social media, and this is not because you're to brag, but this is just by way of encouraging us and by way so that we are praying for you. We would love for you on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, wherever you choose to use, we would love for you to send a picture. Put a picture online of where your place is, tell us what your time is, and use the hashtag SValleyBC. So this week, like if you're in God's Word, if it's your table, or if it's your back porch, your front porch, or if it's your closet, wherever that is, take a picture of that with your Bible there, with everything that you have, and we'd love to know that you're doing this. Listen, it was so awesome last Monday for us to come into staff meeting and to see some of the posts after Pastor Brad kind of just shared his heart about spending time with the Lord and how God uses us when we spend time with the Lord. And so it was awesome to celebrate what we saw online by people saying, listen, this is what I read, this is what God taught me, this is how I'm applying it to my lives. And so what we want you to do is use that hashtag, SValleyBC, just so we can see that, and so we can celebrate with you what God's doing in your hearts and lives. Last week, some of you had the opportunity to pick up the devotion guides out back here, back behind me. And so we'd love for you, if you didn't get one of those, go ahead and grab one of those and begin with day one in that if you're not doing anything. Or if there are other tools online that you can use if you'd rather do that. If you'd rather use the online version, there are cards out there for your quiet time for free 30 days to do it online through the Word of Life stuff. It's the same things that you would get in the book. Some people like it better. Some people like doing it online better, and that's fine. For us, what we want to see is we want to see you have that space. We want to see you have that place and that time to connect with the heart of God. There are a lot of different tools out there. But I promise you this, God will use this to make you a better man, a better woman, a better husband, a better father, and He's going to use this series and this time that you spend with the Lord to make us a better church. Let's pray together. Father, this morning I thank you for how you have been challenging me from this passage of Scripture for weeks now. God, I pray this morning, Father, that you would use this time in your word to mold and shape our lives and our hearts. God, I pray that for the one who they keep saying, I just don't have time, I don't have time, I don't have time. I pray that they would realize today, we have time to do whatever we want to do. I pray that they would spend the money or the time or the effort to set up that space that is their space to go connect with you and grow. God, I pray that no more games, that they wouldn't stop making excuses, God, but they would begin to seek you again. I pray for the one who quit praying 10 years ago because you didn't answer the prayer that they needed you to answer at that time. God, I pray that you would show them what it means to be in relationship with you. Father, I praise you that you loved us enough and wanted to connect with us enough that you sent your son Jesus to bridge the gap between that our sin put between us and you. We thank you that he died, that he was buried, and that he rose from the grave on the third day so that we could connect with you for all of eternity. God, I thank you that we can come to you and that our time with you creates closeness and connection to you and with you. Father, this morning, for the one who just says, I'm done running. I'm finished making excuses. I pray, God, by the power of your Spirit, that you would empower them, equip them, and encourage them to keep on keeping on, to be intentional about that space and that place where they go and seek you. Still with every head bowed and every eye closed, I just wonder, just by slipping your hand up this morning, I would love for you to show me, hey, I already have my space and my place where I seek the Lord on a regular basis. If you have that place, just slip your hand up. Nobody's looking around. All over. Awesome. Awesome. So incredible. I wonder if you're a follower of Jesus today, though, and you realize that you don't have that time and that place that you intentionally seek him. By slipping your hand up, are you saying today, hey, listen, I'm ready to create this place and this space in my life? Slip your hands up. All over. Again. So, for each one of you, we're going to have the chance to pray here. Maybe it begins right here. Maybe it's there in your chair this morning. Right there where you would say, God, I'm sorry. I no more games, no more playing around with this. The altar will be open for you to come and confess that. Or maybe this morning you're here and you say, you know what? I've never had a relationship with Jesus. I've never been someone that's ever connected with him. I've never asked him to forgive me for my sin. And so I don't have that relationship with him. This morning, if that's you, then I'll be down here. Pastor Brad will be down here. We would love to talk with you and show you what it means to finally have peace, what it means to finally be in relationship with your Heavenly Father. If that's you, then we'll be here. We would love to show you that. This morning, you move as you sense God calling you to move today. It may be for some of you to come and pray. It may be for you to pray right there. It may be for you to come and speak with us. We'll be here. I ask you to stand as we sing.